And now back to the Berenstain Bears.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and let's go back in time, shall we? The year 1985, the month September. A young boy, all the 9 years old, name of Phil Gonzalez. It's 5:45 a.m. He wipes the sleep from his eyes, stumbles downstairs, pours himself a bowl of cereal, plops himself down, and turns on the color TV. Farm report, weather report, and then it begins Saturday morning. Saturday morning was always a special time set aside for children and children's programming on television. For almost as long as children's programming has existed, people realized that adults weren't going to be watching TV on a Saturday morning. They were going to be doing adult things. Let's bring in some viewers. And so they always had children's programming running early on Saturday mornings, but something changed. And let's talk about what changed. What changed? A little president named Ronald Reagan didn't like the idea of big businesses being regulated by the government. And one of the long-standing laws that had existed in this nation said that it was against the law to make programming for children that was functionally advertising, that didn't serve any purpose other than to shill products. And Reagan said, this curbs freedom of speech. You should be able to create whatever you want for whatever reason and show it on television. And so those laws were changed. And with them came what we think of as 80s television. Gone were the Looney Tunes reruns, and gone were the children's programs hosted by a friendly smiling clown or whatever. In their place were new programs that were just toy commercials or greeting card commercials or clothing commercials or cereal commercials, and parents hated it and children loved it. But what that meant was the three major networks, NBC, CBS, and ABC, suddenly found themselves in amazing competition with each other. They were clamoring not only for children's attention, not only for advertising dollars, but for this synthesis of product and promotion and cartoon and this amazing world now we lived in, where you could just be selling to children. And we ate it up. As a child of the 80s, I knew I was being sold to. And my parents would say every so often, you know, these are just 30-minute long commercials, right? And we would all say, yes. Yes, we are well aware that they are 30-minute long commercials, and we love it. We love seeing our favorite characters up on the screen. We knew we were being taken advantage of. We would actually sit and wait for new characters to be introduced because we wanted to see the new toy in action. We weren't dumb. We were the target market. The marketers are smart people. They know what kids want to watch. They know that kids want to buy what they see, and they want to see what they buy. Thus, 80s cartoons. Thus, television in the 80s. And don't give me that nonsense about these shows were all garbage. We knew deep down, in their essence, that they weren't worth much of anything. But let's not forget that what we were seeing were entertainments created by actual people. Not very many people either. You're going to see a lot of the same names if you watch those credits. The writers and producers and directors of these cartoons were from a very small pool, and they were working their bottoms off trying to produce content, trying to get enough episodes churned out that they could be repeated throughout the year if the show got canceled before the season was out. Some of these shows only ran for 13 episodes. It just got repeated over and over again. There were only, 52 weeks in a year. You weren't clamoring for a whole lot of content because these shows were only being shown on Saturday morning. What does this have to do with Berenstain Bears? Well, Saturday morning, September 14th, 1985. I'm downstairs, I have my remote control, I have my cereal. It's 7 o'clock, the new cartoons are starting. Now at 6 o'clock there were already some cartoons, but those aren't part of the big body of cartoons. 7 a.m., that's when the new season was beginning. Now we already had some new cartoons premiere in the last week. Those were from ABC, but this is the week that CBS is premiering its new shows. And the first show in the lineup is Berenstain Bears. Now, this is a huge deal. Up to this point, the Berenstain Bears had only existed as television specials. There had only been about 5 TV specials, and now we were getting a weekly series. And this was kind of the heyday of that. The Charlie Brown and Snoopy show had premiered the year before, and up to that point, we had only ever gotten Charlie Brown specials, and now we were getting a weekly series based on the adventures of these characters. And oh boy, what a week this was, because I was going to watch the Berenstain Bears. Right after that was the premiere of a new show from Disney called The Wuzzles, okay? And then after that was going to be The Muppet Babies, so then I was going to jump over to ABC and watch Star Wars Ewoks, and then Star Wars Droids was coming on right after that, okay? And then I was going to change the channels again, maybe to Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling, but then at 9:30 there was the new Punky Brewster cartoon, so I was going to tune into that. Alvin and the Chipmunks came on after that, so I was going to flip. I could either watch Alvin and the Chipmunks, or I could watch CBS Story. Let's watch CBS Story Break, all right? And then well, they have a choice of the Littles, Dungeons and Dragons, or Kid Video. They're all kind of at the end of their life, so it could be one or the other. Probably Kid Video. I still liked that. Then we're going to go to the ABC Weekend Special. Then we were going to definitely do the Charlie Brown and Snoopy show, because I'm not going to let that one go. And maybe the Get Along Gang. And then Pole Position, if I was still paying attention. At that point, things are getting kind of sports-oriented on TV, and I'm going to let that go. But 1985, the Berenstain Bears premiered. Now, this was a show that was produced and directed by Buzz Potemkin, who was the producer of all the previous Berenstain Bears shows. And he worked closely with Stan and Jan to bring this show to television. And a lot of people think of Saturday morning TV shows as, like I said, garbage. But remember that some of these shows had a strong creative team behind them. And the Berenstain Bears show definitely did. Stan and Jan were very involved in this show, writing some of the original stories and scripts. Later on, other writers took over, including Linda Wolverton, who went on to write such movies as Beauty and the Beast and Maleficent, among many other Disney films. But at the time, it had a really strong creative team behind it. And there's a few shows going on that had strong creative teams and larger budgets, like Star Wars Ewoks, Star Wars Droids, things like that. Things with the quality of Saturday morning were a little bit higher. Your Gummy Bears, your Wuzzles, which was strange. The Wuzzles and the Gummy Bears were both premiering at the same time on different networks, same company, different networks. It was a really unusual thing. Gummy Bears would eventually win out. But in any case, the Berenstain Bears, new TV show. And what was it?
This way to Bear Country. You'll know when you're there. As soon as you enter, you'll feel like a bear. A great grizzly bear. A Berenstain Bear.
We are the Berenstain Bears.
Mama.
Papa.
Sister. Brother.
We appreciate each other.
We live in a split level tree.
Mama, Papa, Sister, and me.
More Berenstain Bears.
That's your factual.
Big Bob Bear.
Rapper Shroud. Oh, who's T. Honey Bugger? I'm the mayor.
And lots more.
Bears galore.
You may think that Bear starts our show. Well, it does.
Well, the Berenstain Bears TV show was an odd mix of episodes based on the original books and new episodes, new adventures. But they weren't just, you know, an extension of the property. The shows based on the books were stories that you're all familiar with, and they basically told the stories of the books more or less faithfully. The original stories were completely different. They were far more Saturday morning oriented. They focused far more on the other bears in Bear Country. Bears created, some of them solely for the cartoon, but who would turn up later on, as particularly in the chapter books. This show had villains, like actual antagonists to the bear families. And so the way the shows were done was each episode would actually be two stories, two 11-minute stories. Typically, the first one was based on a book, and the second adventure would be an original story, although it didn't always follow that pattern. But here we are. It is Saturday morning on September 14th, and the first episode is premiering. And the two adventures in that episode are based on the Berenstain Bears and the Messy Room, and a new story called The Terrible Termite. So, the Berenstain Bears and the Messy Room. What is it? Well, we've already covered that book, and it's basically the same story. Mama gets fed up with the bear cubs having a messy room. She loses her temper. She starts throwing all their toys away. They beg her not to. She relents when Papa Bear comes in the room and comes up with a new idea to clean the room. The bears clean the room. Everything's happy. Now, it's a weird introduction to the characters because this is a story that kind of subverts the mama and papa relationship. This is the book, if you remember, where mama loses her cool and papa's the voice of reason. And for a first episode of a show, if you weren't familiar with the characters, you're gonna see mama acting very, very bizarre. Like, very bizarre. In the book, she gets mad and she storms around the house and she yells at those kids. In the cartoon, she is furious, like more than furious. In fact, when the cubs are in their room and hear her coming, it's an extended sequence of her slamming down the hall. She bursts into the room and she is furious at the state of things. She can't work her way around all the garbage. She can't stop stepping on things. She can't open the closet door, and she gets more and more angry. She starts at a pretty furious level and it builds and it builds and it builds to a full-on mama rant.
This is the most impressive mess I personally have ever seen. The filthiest, dirtiest, most disgusting mess known to bears. Unquestionably the number one messy room in all bear country. Destined to go down in the filthy, dirty hall of fame.
No wire hangers ever!
And then she lays down the law. She says, you have to clean this room in 15 minutes or I'm trashing everything. It's a little different than the actual book. See, the book has the benefit of giving us the ability to sort of flash back through time. It lays down a little history of the cubs with their room. The TV show is told in real time, so it doesn't really have the benefit of that. What it does have is the benefit of as many, many, many montages. This is a cartoon that's kind of steeped in montages. So what it does is it shows that the kids can't agree on anything as it's happening. And so she leaves them to clean the room. They start arguing. At the last minute, they shove everything in their closet. Mama comes back. She opens the closet door. Everything spills on her. She starts trashing the kids' room, throwing everything into the box just to get rid of it. Everything they love, everything they hold dear. The cubs start panicking and screaming, help, help, help. Papa hears what's happening while he's working in the woods, thinks there's something terrible happening with his cubs, rushes in to help. And then we get the ending that we got in the book where he basically tells them, you know, it's not fair for your mama and me. We work very hard and we want to have a nice house, but we can't because of this mess you've created. It's not respectful to us and it's not respectful to yourself. You just can't enjoy yourselves in living in filth. So let's come up with a new organizational plan. He does the pegboard. He does the boxes in the closet and everyone's very happy. It's a strange introduction to the characters. Those characters are played by Ruth Buzzy as Mama Bear, famous comedian and character actor Ruth Buzzy. Papa Bear is played by Brian Cummings, who is a regular voice actor. You've heard his voice on everything. You hear him in announcements. You hear him...
Coming soon to theaters.
This is kind of nearish the beginning of his voice career. So he's playing Papa Q Bear. Brother Bear is a young actor named David Mendenhall, who you have probably heard in many different roles. David Mendenhall has appeared in, for many years, he was a young character in General Hospital. He was in Over the Top. You probably know him best as young Daniel in Transformers the Movie. Sister Bear was played by Christina Lang, who I can't find too much information on. But there's a certain voice actor you will recognize as soon as his character steps on screen. Which character? All of them. He actually gets the first line in the series.
Morning, Mrs. Bear. There's some mail for you.
That's right. Mr. Frank Welker, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Frank Welker doesn't get his full voice workout until the next brief episode, which is The Terrible Termite. It's an original story that eventually, years and years later, will get adapted into a chapter book starring the Bear Scouts. But for right now, it's an 11-minute episode starring brother and sister, the Bear family, and a little character we like to call Raffish Ralph. Now, who's Raffish Ralph? Well, he is the antagonist of the Berenstain Bears cartoon. Not even the actual antagonist. There is another antagonist who'll be popping up later. But Raffish Ralph is Bear Country's con artist, a swindler, a con man, a bad, bad human being. He is there to pull one over on Papa. He despises Papa. We don't know why. I mean, he exists solely to con people. And everyone knows this. Everyone sort of lets him get away with it. So that's strange. But it's played by Frank Welker. And when he's first introduced, the first time you hear him, Welker hasn't exactly settled into the role yet. He comes across as a weird combination of Frank Welker, who, you know, in some ways just kind of always sounds, once you know Frank Welker, you know Frank Welker. But that, a bad W.C. Fields impression, and strangely kind of Slimer from the real Ghostbusters. Like, this is what he sounds like when he first enters.
Huh? Oh, hello there. If it isn't the progeny of my favorite sucker, Sap, Citizen, Papa Q Bear.
Yeah, so he's bad guy. He's a schemer. He's literally a schemer. He lives in a super cool houseboat, but when you first meet him, he's very upset that he doesn't have a new scheme. He hasn't been able to trick anyone in a while. What's he going to do? And then he meets a termite, a giant termite.
Who and what in the name of all that's weird are you?
My friends call me Terrible Termite. That is, they would if I had any friends. Would you like to be my friend?
But I've never seen a termite as big as you.
Neither has anyone else. I'm unique. Will you excuse me, please? I feel a snack coming on.
That looks like nothing we've ever seen. Now, what was so unusual about that scene is Raffish Ralph was played by Frank Welker. The termite was played by Frank Welker. That's right. Frank Welker doing a somewhat Don Messick-y voice. Like, at first I was like, is that Don Messick doing that voice? It sounds a lot like it. But nope. Because he has a little bit of a boo-boo bear sound to him. But then that's Frank Welker. That's vocal chameleon Frank Welker doing pretty much Don Messick as a termite. So what happens is Raffish Ralph convinces the termite to work for him. And what the termite's going to do is sort of give Raffish Ralph an edge so that Ralph can sell termite insurance. That's right. This is an episode about insurance fraud. And so Raffish Ralph goes to Quick Print, Bear Country Quick Print. Remember, it's basically like a Kinko's. Gets a bunch of flyers printed up because apparently in Bear Country, starting an insurance firm involves nothing more than printing flyers. Takes them around town, finds Papa Bear, who is planing wood with a wood plane, and the cubs are in the front yard, supposed to be cleaning up the wood shavings, but they're being brats, and so Papa's mad at them. And the Raffish Ralph shows up to sell Papa Q Bear some termite insurance, and he gets the little termite to quickly eat some of the wood, so Papa Bear flips out, and the cubs, of course, aren't fools. They're hip to Ralph. And Papa Bear's hip to Ralph, too, until the actual destruction of the oak furniture comes into play, and so the cubs decide to stake out Ralph's houseboat. And what ends up happening is Ralph and the termite get into an argument, which contains this exchange. The termite is talking about what Ralph's plans are. And he says, wait, is that ethical? It sounds almost like a protection racket. And Ralph says, what do you mean almost? It is a protection racket. And I remember this episode because I remember as a child being introduced to the concept of a protection racket. What a wonderful thing to learn from the Berenstain Bears. So the cubs, they get the disgruntled termite. The termite quits. It doesn't want to hurt people. It doesn't want to be part of fraud. And so the cubs get the disgruntled termite to start destroying Ralph's houseboat. Ralph, of course, freaks out. He apologizes. He gives them their money back. And the cubs take the money back to Papa, and they put the termite to work eating up Papa's wood shavings so they don't have to clean the yard. It's a strange little story. It's an adventure. And that's something we haven't seen much of in Bear Country. There's no lesson to be learned. It's not sweet. It's a cartoon adventure. It's something you see on Saturday mornings. And this is the beginning of Bear Country becoming a place. This is really where it happens, to me, in my opinion. Bear Country, with the introduction of the Saturday morning cartoon show, Bear Country opens up in a major way. In a way, not even like the Almanac could open it up. Because suddenly the Bear family isn't the focus of every story. Suddenly, we have Frank Welkering it up as Raffish Ralph, as Actual Factual, as Weasel McGreed, as Farmer Ben, as the evil hench weasels. We have Frank Welker playing almost every bear in Bear Country. They're gonna give him work. So you're sort of torn between the original storylines and these new adventures, many of which will be adapted into storybooks later on, and sometimes 10, 15 years later. But they do eventually get adapted into storybooks, chapter books, large-size picture books. But this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the Berenstain Bears Saturday morning. And I don't know how to approach the rest of the series. It never received a legitimate home video release. It was a lot of VHS tapes with like one or two episodes on them. In fact, I'm not entirely sure about the release schedule. The online schedule shows it being released week by week, but these are only 11-minute episodes, and I know that the show had a half-hour time slot, so they had to have released two at once. So I'm just going off release number, which is The Messy Room and The Terrible Termite. It was a popular show. It really pushed. A lot of people cite this show as being their introduction to the Berenstain Bears. It ran on and off, kind of. TLC ran it for a while. In the early 2000s, you would get some reruns, but eventually it was usurped by the PBS series. And ever since the PBS series, you don't really see this show anymore. The PBS series was far more we'll get to it. But it was far more focused on education. It was a gentler show. This show didn't really pull a whole lot of punches with the bears losing their cool, yelling, being seen in the worst possible light. In a way, I feel like this show is almost a better reflection of the Berenstain Bears than the later series. Some great voice work. Some great animation. If you watch these original episodes for Saturday morning cartoons, this was some really dynamite animation. This show was well supervised. It was really well produced. Buzz Potemkin died in 2012, and it's a real shame. He produced a lot of I'm not going to say great Saturday morning shows or just cartoons in general. Some great stuff. I mean, he was the producer of the original Berenstain Bears Christmas Tree, but you probably knew him from he did the MTV's I Want My MTV campaign. Like, that was his. He did hundreds of TV advertisements. I believe that his animation studio was the largest animation studio in New York. He was a supervising producer on CBS Story Break, which was basically CBS's answer to the ABC Weekend Special. He was the executive producer of the Teen Wolf cartoon that I mentioned earlier. He went on to be the executive producer of Peter Pan and the Pirates, which was a very critically hailed cartoon show. He was the guy behind Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue, Internet, everyone who loves that show. SWAT Cats, which has quite a following. He brought us the Flintstones Christmas Carol. He brought us some Scooby-Doo stuff. But his biggest thing, the thing that you're going to remember Buzz Potemkin for, was he was the force behind the What a Cartoon Show. And because of his constant championing of What a Cartoon, we got shows like Dexter's Laboratory, Cow and Chicken. We got shows like Johnny Bravo, which was actually one of his final credits because he was the original executive producer of that. Buzz Potemkin was not a name that people know in their house. But when he died, it was a really big deal in the animation world. He was a force. And he's missed. when you talk about the quality of animation, it's important to remember that there were talented people working behind the scenes with very limited budgets, with very limited resources, with very limited information, and not a whole lot of support from the people pulling the strings, like the purse strings, trying to do the best they could, trying to write the best they could on very short schedules, trying to produce the best animation they could while having to farm the animation out to 3, 4, 5 different international animation studios just to get their shows on the air. And I just want to take this time to remember Marshall Buzz Potemkin as the force behind the original The Berenstain Bears Saturday morning show. I would watch TV for literally hours on Saturday mornings, and The Berenstain Bears always stood out as one of the best shows of its kind at the time. So hats off to you, Mr. Potemkin. I wish I could have talked to you. I wish I could have met you. You were a part of Berenstain Bear history, and you are missed. At least I missed you. So for everyone else, thanks for listening. I don't know how I'm going to cover the rest of these. I don't know what I'm going to do. So periodically, you're going to get an episode or two about this show when one strikes my fancy. Again, these episodes are hard to get your hands on. There's no DVDs. They're not available readily online. So I have to be resourceful and find them where I can. You can find us. We're easy to find on Facebook. Go to Facebook. Just do Deep in Bear Country. You go to Twitter. Search Deep in Bear Country, or just find us at Berenstain Bearcast. We're easy to find. You can write to the show at berenstainbearcast@gmail.com. You can find us at our blog, berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com. As always, please go to iTunes and just click a star. Five of them. Click all five of them. Let the world know that we're out here. We're sort of shouting about bears at you. I enjoy doing the show, and I enjoy talking to you. We'll be coming back at you with some more Berenstain Bear books. We got some more funny collectibles coming up. Trust me, there's some amusing ones coming up. We got some pretty hard-hitting books. We got some great guests lined up. We got a lot of fun and entertainment, and I will see you next week deep in Bear Country.